Hello again, everybody, and welcome to Around Town. I'm your host, Ron Giordano, and our guest today is Carl Gilmore from the District 200 School District in Woodstock. We want to welcome Carl to our show. Carl, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me. It's always a great opportunity to talk to the people who the district serves.
Well, tell us about what's going on in District 200, Carl.
Well, District 200 right now, we're getting ready to close up the school year. That's coming up pretty soon. May is always a very, 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 very busy month for us in the district, April and May. We are right now in the process of finalizing or working on contracts for our teachers and staff. And generally, we are looking forward to spring break in a couple of weeks and then to the heading out of the school year for summer break.
So what happened during that whole COVID-19 situation? How did you guys handle all that, Carl?
Well, we were at the forefront of how to handle that. Our district our administration and our staff did an absolutely wonderful job in making sure that we were able to adjust to what was going on. A lot of things are happening quickly and without a whole lot of warning. And without a lot of notice that we needed to do things. So I mean, we did what we were instructed we needed to do. We shut the schools down when we were told to. We were already well placed for doing remote learning because we've been using one-to-one technology for many years. So all the students already had some kind of a device, a Chromebook or something to work with. So we were able to work to handle it pretty well with that to the extent that was possible. And then when we were told that we were no longer allowed to do that, or schools were going to be reopened, we reopened, and it was a major impact upon the ability of the school to run.
Yeah, it's quite an undertaking.
Yes, it was, and I mean I think that COVID provided us with something, an overview of how important schools really are to our communities. During that period of time, that COVID was there needed to be a way for kids and people in the community to be able to connect in some way. And while we couldn't do it face to face or we didn't
right.
gather, one of the ways that could be done was through the use of the technology that we had, so that the teachers and the kids could continue to connect with each other as best as could be expected, or as best as we could manage. So from that point, COVID was an eye opener. It showed us how important schools are to the communities. Not only did we provide the education that was necessary, but we were able to provide things like school lunches and things, which are, for some people, are really, really, really important. And to not have access to schools meant not access to an important part of their meals for the day. So that was one element in which we really saw how important schools were and how COVID helped really focus that to the extent that we were able to.
Some school districts have reported that when kids came back from this whole COVID crisis, that their learning curve had kind of dropped down a little bit. Did you find the same thing in your district?
Yes. I mean, that happened. And we're still catching up. I mean, I don't think there's a district around that isn't. Now, some of the younger kids who didn't have to go to school, that weren't in school, wouldn't have had that. But we are still catching up on some of that. We are still trying to catch up with some of the lag that would have happened with their progress in school. But as time goes on, it's getting better.
Sure. One of the things that I've had a few people ask me that some school districts have, does Woodstock have a gifted program for those kids that need that extra help because they're bored in class because they're so advanced? Do they have programs like that available?
Yes, there's programs at the elementary schools I think we call it the Challenge Corps. There's programs at the elementary schools. There are, one of the things that evolved out of the COVID response was some blended math opportunities for kids in junior high school, for example. And what that is an opportunity for kids who show promise in mathematics, but maybe a little bit, but can't quite maybe achieve the level that we would have expected. It gives an opportunity to get together with teachers before school to work on math in an extra sense. And it's not just for kids who fell maybe behind, but kids who are just on the precipice of being maybe a real advanced math student. With a little help, they are an advanced math student. Mm-hmm. That's something that developed out of the COVID response as well. So, yeah, I mean, we do have programs for kids who need additional supports.
And there are some kids that are so advanced that they get bored in class because they get their studies done and they're waiting around because the other kids are still working on it because they're that advanced. So I'm sure you have situations like that, too, that you have to address.
Yes, we do, and we address it in a couple of ways. Sometimes it's just a matter of moving them to another, you know, just moving them to a different class so that they're more, they're more challenged. But there are ways of dealing with that in terms of some of the other programs that we've and things we've done. We're doing with curriculum and things like that. So yes, I mean, there's always going to be you're always going to have a group of children who are going to be a little bit further along.
Sure.
You're always going to have some kids who are going to be a little bit further behind, and you're going to have the middle kids who you're working with. So, yeah.
Well, you know, Carl, I hate to bring it up, but, you know, everyone thinks about taxes. That's the biggest hit on your real estate tax bill is your school, you know, tax. Right. So let's go into taxes for the district.
Sure. Well, where we are right now is we are about 15 years ago, the district went through a building renovation, some renovations to some buildings and expansions, and building some new buildings. And we issued bonds, 20-year bonds that were established at that point. We are, in doing that, one of the part of the planning was that there would be a period of time when there would be some increase in taxes in debt, and then we would hit a what we call the debt bubble. That debt bubble was a three-year period in which the debt was going to basically jump pretty high. And what the plan was that when we had equalized assessed valuation going up because of more people coming to the district and so forth and so on, which was the plan, that the bubble would be able to be covered because we'd have a larger tax base. Well, okay. That didn't happen. And so we are right now in the bubble. But we've had to plan on how to work around that, and we've seen it coming and have done some pretty good job, I think, in planning on how to get around it. So at the end of the fiscal year 2025 and 26, which will correspond with the tax year 2026, we will have retired a three-year debt bubble that was anticipated to be paid through that expanded tax base. The taxes are being collected in 2024 and 25, but will not be received until 2026. So that's when we expect we'll have that debt bubble managed. We have not had a tax expansion. In other words, through careful financial management, there's been no increase in the tax rate for the last 10 years. During the debt bubble years that were fiscal year 2024 to 25 and 2026, we've been faced with debt that's about 1.5 times what our normal debt is, 150% of what our normal debt is.
Well, that's pretty
but we do not anticipate an increase in tax rates. And a large part of that is due to the fact that EAV has started to climb back up, and we're now at pre-2008 levels, which is when the problems occurred. So the good news to our taxpayers is we haven't had to increase your tax rate in order to meet this major challenge that we all of a sudden were facing, and we're looking at hopefully by the end of that we'll see some drop off in debt, and you know, we'll see what happens when that happens. But
Carl, do you see? I know when the schools are built, it was overbuilt because it was this anticipation of all this growth that was coming, and then the bubble burst. Do you see those buildings that are not fully occupied becoming occupied in the near future?
Well, we've because of the situation, because we haven't seen them filled, we have done some management with our buildings. We owned a building in near downtown, near the square in Woodstock. There was an administration building. We sold that and took over part of Woodstock North High School for now administration.
Okay.
Actually, our grade schools are almost full. If not, in some cases they are full, and in other cases they're close to full. The area in which we have an issue is with the high schools.
Okay.
We have Woodstock North is partially full, and Woodstock High School is partially full. The problem we have is that we can't combine the schools. And the reason is we have too many students to be able to fit in Woodstock North. And if we put them in Woodstock High School, we'd reintroduce a crowding program. So, a problem. So we are looking at ways of managing our facilities. As I said, we've reduced one building out of the inventory of buildings that we have, and so it's just a matter if the grade schools continue as full as they are, we'll probably see some increase as well in population in the schools, high schools.
We're going to pause for 1 minute to remind everybody that you're listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley Community Radio Station. We're talking with Carl Gilmore from District 200, Woodstock. So, Carl, let's talk about academic accomplishments.
Sure. Well, we talked a little bit about math and the blended math programs, and you also talked about how do we keep up with these kids that are maybe a little bit advanced. We started some new math and language initiatives at Westwood Elementary School that we're testing right now, which is basically math and language immersion. In other words, they spend a significant time in math and a significant time in language.
Okay.
And then they have other classes that go along with it. Our new math program at the elementary level, that's kindergarten through eighth, involves what is basically called spiraling. Which what it means is they teach a concept, and then they come back to it again and again and again. So it's repetition, but it's repetition and an expansion. And the students are doing that. That's a good chance for teachers to notice who's falling a little bit behind and who's getting a little bit further ahead. If they're getting a little bit further ahead, they don't need to necessarily redo what they've done before. And they're also able to provide maybe other concepts for the advancing students so that they're not getting frustrated or bored. They may be working on something else while the rest of the class is working on one concept. So in our math and language initiatives at the grade school levels, we think we're doing pretty well there. And the numbers seem to reflect that. Our 6th and 8th grade literacy and our 8th grade math in D200 has the highest achievement scores in McHenry County. And Carl,
let me just ask a quick question. On those scores, how they come about? How do they figure those scores?
There's testing that's done.
Through testing?
At each grade level. Some of the other academic things that we've seen that are great, Woodstock High School is consistently named one of the top high schools in Illinois. It's been done so for several years in the past. And another thing we're really proud of, that it's not all math and literacy, We've got a dual language program that is really second to none. The kids start off in kindergarten and go all the way through high school speaking Spanish a substantial amount during their school day. And there are opportunities that come with that. One of my sons is going to be heading over to Spain for an immersion over spring break. I mean, what a great opportunity for kids to have those chances. So, I mean, that's one of the best programs in the country on that.
And on your high school students, the supports, you want to talk about that a little bit, Carl?
Sure. We provide SAT prep for all of our high school students. We have a substantial AP and dual credit offerings for our high school students, advanced placement dual credit programs.
And how's your dual credit work?
Dual credit, it means it goes along with McHenry County College, and they take certain classes in order to, when they end up graduating from high school, they also graduate with an associate's degree. So they're getting two degrees at once.
Okay.
So that's what our dual degree program is. We also have something called a 12 and 200 program, which is an opportunity to get 12 college credits in District 200 before you graduate, which is a full semester. Now, that for some people, that's a substantial benefit. Because you're not paying a college to give you those credits. So, I mean, between the dual degree and the 12 and 200 program, we're very, very excited about um, about our high school offerings for students.
And do you have any special highlights that you want to talk about, Carl?
Yeah, we're looking at prioritizing a couple of things. One of the things is we are looking at enhancing our sustainability or our environmental impact upon the community. We're trying to right now. We thought we had it set up. We're still working on it. Trying to get a solar array to provide electricity for at least some of the schools. Initially, it was Woodstock North High School. We'll see what happens from there.
Now, would that solar, would those panels be on the high school itself or placed in a different area, Carl?
They're placed nearby. They're not on the school. They're nearby, and then they feed into the school for electricity.
So that one high school is up north of town, correct?
Correct.
And you have a lot more room there, land-wise, I would think, for the solar panels.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Some of the other things we're doing, we're instituting or working on a new system regarding bullying within schools, which is a prevalent problem, particularly with junior high schools and grade schools. We're working on that.
Can you tell the folks a little bit about that? Because that's really important for parents, the bullying part.
Yeah. Well, what we've done is we've instituted an anonymous reporting form that a student who either witnesses or is a victim of bullying can report it to the school, and the school will then investigate what happened and what the circumstances were. We found that making it anonymous helps. A lot of kids don't want to identify who it is.
Absolutely.
The interesting side part to this, though, is that we found it's not only a mechanism for kids or children to report bullying, but anything that they don't like.
Okay.
So they'll report things that they think need to be brought to our attention. And it's a way for them to, it's like a suggestion box. That's not the goal of it, but it certainly is a benefit.
Well, I'm sure there's also a fear that if they say something, they're going to be picked on, things like that. By making it anonymous, it's much better because they don't have to worry about all that and you know, kind of fuss over it.
Yes, that's the theory behind it. And then there is, you know, once that we receive the report, then it goes through a process for being investigated and determined with what needs to be done. We have some great special education offerings. I can't go forward without mentioning that.
Okay.
You know, we've got our Clay School Therapeutic Day School, which is provides behavioral problems with students. It's a separate community. But it keeps them in a school environment without segregating them away from it keeps them in a school environment while they're getting learning how to handle behavioral issues.
Those are special instructors for that.
It's a whole separate entity.
Okay.
We have the Challenger Center, which we still run. That was dealing with space exploration, and it's a great program, and it brings people in from around the area, not just our own students, but other students to learn about space. And as I have to mention, I mean, our fine arts programs are among the best in the state. We have band, orchestra, chorus. Our orchestra teacher has been nominated for a Grammy Award, and then we're talking about theater and musical theater. And the offerings that we have for fine arts, we are so happy with the way that our kids have been able to access these programs, have been able to excel at these programs, and have had the opportunity to be involved in music and fine arts, which we think is important.
So, if someone wanted to go to the Challenger Center, what would they see when they go there, or what would they be participating in at the Challenger Center?
It's a mission, generally a mission. The missions change, where they go in, they go through some you know, instruction about how to do it, and then they run a mission or have other activities that involve that have been generated via various space programs. But there's sometimes it might be involved printing something with a 3D printer, or usually it involves some kind of they'll be trying to land on Mars or doing something along those lines with you know, hands-on type things for the kids too.
That sounds kind of neat.
It is neat. It was started in Woodstock years ago, But then they were going to close it down, and they offered to sell it to us, and we took it, and sell it to us at a bargain, and we took it, and it's been as I said, it not only benefits our students in the in our district, but other schools do come in and use it, and you know it helps. It's terrific. It's a great.
So
program.
When other schools come in, that's from outside the district,
right?
Okay, and how does that work? Do they pay a fee for that?
Yes,
or?
Yes. They pay for access to it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So what are some of the challenges that lie ahead for you and for the district?
The two of them are kind of stick out right now. We have an issue. The ages of our buildings is a problem. It's something we have to keep up. We're not looking to build anything or do anything, but they're old buildings. Woodstock High School just celebrated its 100th year. Clay Academy is older than that, and we have to keep the buildings maintained and so forth, and that's always going to be a challenge for us. With respect to other issues, busing has been an issue over the last couple of years, and there it's a problem of we're having a hard time getting enough bus drivers.
That seems to be a problem all over.
Yes, it is. We've taken steps to try and alleviate that, raised our pay a little bit, and I mean we offer people who don't have a commercial driver's license, we offer to give them training, get them training, and do all those types of things. So there's a lot of options.
Have you been able to identify why there's this, you know, lack of drivers? What's causing it?
I have not been able to. No, I don't know. I couldn't give you.
I mean, it just seems like there's always bus drivers available, but all of a sudden, in the recent last few years, it's more difficult to find bus drivers.
Yeah, I can't explain why that is. It's something that came after, you know, that was more prevalent after we returned from COVID. I don't know if it's the hours. I don't know if it's the pay. I don't know what it is, but for some reason, and you're right, it's a problem that is being faced around not only in our district, but in districts across the state.
So are there any other challenges that you see that lie ahead for the district that are important, Carl?
Well, there's always an element of uncertainty. We don't know what the state's going to require. We don't know what's going to change, how the economy is going to change or how it's going to affect us in the future. Best we can do these days is to work with what we know is going on right now and what we can predict in the short-term future and do the best we can in that. And we'll continue to do that. I'm very confident we have a good board, we've got a good administration, and I'm convinced that we will be able to meet the challenges as they arise.
Now, the contract that's expiring, was that a three-year contract with the teachers?
Yes.
A three-year?
Yes.
So the idea is we're going to a new 3 years at it.
I can't really go into details on what it's about.
So. But so when does the contract come up? The new one.
Well, it will be effective in the next school year.
Okay.
So we're at the end of it. Yeah, we don't want to come up July 1st and be told you don't have any contracts with your teachers.
Sure, sure. That's understandable. Yeah. You want to you know, do the best that you can. And do you see any new things coming down the stream for the school systems, whether it be state or federal, whatever, that's going to change things, or will everything kind of remain status quo?
I don't foresee anything at this point, but it would be surprised if I were not surprised. Somewhere down the road, something's going to happen, and we don't know exactly what's going to happen. You know, they could be changing the funding structure. It could be, you know, a change in policy where the legislature decides not to fund certain things, but still requires us to do it. Years ago, there was a lag between the time we were required to spend things and they reimbursed us for it. That seems to have kind of evaporated recently, but we don't know. And I don't have anything that's glaring in front of me, but we'll see.
Well, I want to just thank you for being here today. We've been talking with Carl Gilmore from District 200, Woodstock, and giving us some information about what's going on there. And, of course, you folks have been listening to 101.5 FM, your Huntley community radio station. For more information, go to huntleyradio.com. Click on shows. You'll see our show there around town, and you'll see more of our shows that we've broadcast here. We want to thank Carl for being here today and joining us. Tell all you folks out there to have a great day. The weather's changing, so enjoy yourselves. Thanks, folks.